am continuing on with the message that I started preaching 2 weeks ago called Believing and Receiving. This is part two. But we're going to do a quick review. This is our foundation verse. Salvation is found in no one else, which speaking of Jesus, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which you can be saved. That beautiful, wonderful name of Jesus, because of what he has done. Amen. It's so good. So we talked about the fact that you are saved. That word saved is sozo. That means in the Greek to be saved, kept safe and sound, rescued from danger or destruction, saved from suffering and disease, made to make well, heal, restore to health, delivered from penalties, of the messianic judgment, and saved from the evils which obstruct the reception of the messianic deliverance. So we saw that. Believe and receive, part two. We're going to part two today. And again, being saved. So we looked at the fact that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And I was talking with a friend of mine who said, you know, she saw the most interesting thing. It's kind of a triangle that says this, that the way we live nowadays is the bottom part of the widest part of the triangle is all about the physical. The middle part is about your soul, and the top part, about this much of it, is about the spirit. But the Bible tells us that life is in the spirit. And so we're trying to get life. The world is trying to get life through, you know, the body aspect of it, you know. And again, I'm not saying we'll get more into that next week, to mistreat your body, but our so focus is if I was just this, if I was just this size, this hair color, this, if I had did more exercise, if I ate the, you know, we get so focused into there. That's the patterns of the world. And we spend a great deal of time there. But the truth is we want to be in the spirit. The Lord says, tells us to walk in the spirit, to be in the spirit. And you are a new creation in the spirit. So you have been, or you have been saved in your spirit. You're being saved in your soul, and your body will be saved. And again, I don't want to spend a great deal of time reviewing everything this morning. But again, we are saved, and these are all those scriptures that talk about us being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, made perfect, without spot or wrinkle in our soul. And it goes on. I'm not going to read all of those scriptures. But in the, and the Amplified and from John says this: God is spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. That's interesting. And then in Galatians, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:25. So you have been saved in your spirit. Your spirit is made righteous, perfect, holy, blameless, powerful. In our spirit man has been made alive in Christ, and we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. But we have this other thing, a part of us, that we have a soul. And so in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, like newborn babies craving pure spiritual milk, so that by it you, or let me read. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. So there is a part of our being saved that is growing and changing. And that is where we're being saved. It says we're working out our salvation in fear and trembling. So what is the soul? Well, it is your mind, which is your consciousness, being aware, your imagination, perception, thinking, intelligence, judgments, language, and memories. It is also your will, your desire, intent, and choices. It's your emotions that you associate with thoughts, feelings, behavioral responses, and a degree of pleasure or displeasure. It's your part of your personality, characteristic way of thinking, feeling, behaving, personally embraces moods, attitudes, opinions, and is most clearly expressed in the interaction with other people. Wow, aren't they in a mood today? And last, it's our self-conscious, our ego, how we view ourselves. And so that is part of, that's the soul. And this is one of the parts of us that is being saved. Can you say that your thinking is always godly? No. Can you think of your emotions always falling in line when God says, fear not? No. How about our personality? I know I remember this years ago, somebody said, you know, when you get born again, if you were a jerk before you were born again, you're still a jerk until something changes. And so we know we're not working for salvation, but the scripture does tell us that we need to labor to enter into his rest. There are things that require our choices, part of this, the soul there, our choice to enter into the things of God, to believe what God is saying, to step into the word of God and take hold of it for ourselves. If you're self-conscious, your ego keeps saying, you know, I'm a worthless whatever, that's not true if you're a born-again believer. Well, it's not true anytime, but it's not true. And as a born-again believer, something is in our self, our soul, that needs to be righted, that needs to come in line with what's happened in our spirit. So moving on here, and we're talking about the Word of God. Oh, whoops, let me get back there. For the Word of God is alive, it's active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So again, here we are, spirit with Holy Spirit in it, our spirit with Holy Spirit in us. And that is our born again, born from above, the true you. This is where your true identity, who you are in Christ. This is where the life is. Then again, you have your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, your personality, and again, your ego or your self-consciousness. And then the body, which has taste, touch, sight, smell, and hear. And it can hear. It is a vessel in which the soul and the spirit live in. When we think of when Jesus died, and he's just before he died, he said, into your hands I commit my spirit, Lord. And then it says he gave up the ghost, or he gave up the spirit and died. That was where life is. And looking here, we understand, again, how many of us would agree that we probably spend more time in the soul and the body than in spirit living, focusing there. So our body, I don't know if you can see that little thing that just dropped, has a brain. And in that brain, that's where we process the touch, the smell, the taste, all of that. And it's our soul that takes that information and decides what it's going to do with it. Likewise, between the spirit and the soul, we have the heart. Above all else, guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. So what comes from the spirit flows through our heart. How many have ever heard the expression, I know in my knower? But they're not pointing here, they point here. I know in my knower. You know, where you know something deep within that's beyond your brain. I feel it really deep inside of me, that kind of thinking. That's the heart idea, that inner man, that connection with the heart. So we have a heart connecting us through spirit and soul. So we're going to move on here. This is the same scripture about the sword of the spirit, but this is from the Passion Translation. I love how it puts it. For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, like a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It will interpret and reveal the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. There is no person who can hide their thoughts from God. Nothing that we do remains secret, and nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes, to whom we must render an account. Now, when we look at this scripture and we think, what is a two-mouthed sword? Well, what do we call the word of God? sword of the Spirit, right? It's the sword. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And the Word of God comes forth from His mouth. There's one edge. But when we join with it and agree with it, there's the other edge, dividing and separating what is truth and what is just mere bone and marrow. What is of the Spirit, what's of the soul. And so this is where we talk about, we want to be in agreement, we want to get our soul in line with what's happening in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this: no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us, is spoken by us to the glory. There we go, to the glory of God. Again, that two-edged sword. This is what we're saying. And scripture just before it, the verse just before it, talks about it's not yes and no with God. It's not a yes and no thing. It's a yes in Christ, and we add our amen. So then it's talking about the promises of God that have been made to us. So again, the Word of God, that sword that we have. Well, here we go. In Proverbs 27:19, it says this: as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. Okay, so now we're moving into the heart. What's happening in your life? Is crappy stuff happening in your life? What's going on in your heart? I have to challenge myself too, because sometimes, you've heard, I have my whiny baby parties and whatever, and it's just like, I have to check what's going on in my heart, because what's coming out into my life is a reflection of what's in my heart. And I want to align my heart with truth. Maybe I've been spending too much time looking, you know, over here, look at that, how come God's blessing them and not me? Yeah. You know, I mean, I have my moments. But our heart is a reflection. Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is your self-talk? What are you speaking? Are you condemning yourself? Are you condemning others? Or are you speaking the promises of God, the life of God? Here's one we know. It had to come up. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test, approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We have to, how many want to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus? We have to transform our thinking, renew our mind so that we can be transformed. Get a hold of the Word of God and the promises of God. And I'm talking not Old Testament, I'm talking the New Testament, what we have in Jesus, what's been fulfilled through him. All right, I'm going to move on. How many of you have ever experienced mind clutter? You know, you got so many things going on in your head, you can't finish a project or finish a thought. Mind cluttered. Well, the same thing can happen in our hearts. We can be establishing things in our hearts that are creating clutter. Because we have all these promises of God, and we're not experiencing them, and we go, well, what's going on? Well, it's a heart issue. Again, we come back to that heart issue. What have we established in our heart? Are we believing truth, or are we believing lies? Are we conformed to the patterns of this world, or are we receiving what we have in Jesus and believing and establishing our hearts in those things? How many remember a couple of weeks ago, Ralph had some money up here, $50 bills, and he invited anybody to come up? Now, those of you at home couldn't come up, and maybe you would have, but I went up and got it, and nobody else did. And the interesting thing is I don't know if you were sitting here, but what was your thinking? What was going on in your thinking at that time? You don't have to share that. But I sat there and I thought, well, my first thought is, I didn't go right away because I thought, well, I'll let everybody else go first. And nobody was going. And then I thought, well, I'll go first and maybe that'll inspire people to get up and go. And they still didn't. And then I sat down and I was thinking about this, and actually while I was thinking about this message, it was just like, you know, why did I get up and go? Why did I get up and go? And I thought, well, you know, one thing I know is that I know Ralph. And one of the things I've experienced with Ralph in all the years I've been here is he is a very generous man. And from the very beginning, he really challenged, he wasn't deliberately challenging, but when something he shared with me really challenged me. He said, you know, if our Heavenly Father is a God of abundance, we do need to be people of abundance too, giving generously. He's a God of abundance who's generous. We need to reflect our Father. So one of the things I know about Ralph is that he was dead serious. And the other thing that I know is he's done it before. And I knew that he was serious. So I had the personal relationship knowledge of him and the experience of him. And I went up and got my 50. So now you all know the next time he does that, it's going to be a stampede to the... because he was serious. How much more with our Heavenly Father? But how often do we sit and let our thoughts block us from receiving what's there? So I'm going to take us, maybe. Here's our heart. And we have the promises of God that are ours for the taking. They flow from the Spirit to us. They're ours in Jesus. But we start thinking and we start writing on our hearts things like, I'm not worthy to receive. I'm a sinner saved by grace. You are no longer a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner. You were saved by grace. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not God's will for me. I don't understand the Bible. God's promises are not for now, are not for me now. I need to do more to get God to whatever. You may be caught up in Old Testament thinking. God's not allowing, or God is doing this to me. The gifts of the Spirit were for the new church when it was first born. I'm not healed, so God must want me sick. I'm full of worry about this or that. I never have enough. Everybody's against me. I'm full of fear of. I'm disqualified because I did this. My faith is too small. I'm full of doubt and unbelief. And do you see the chaos and the clutter there that's damning your heart? This is what if you've established your heart in all of this stuff, the flow is mostly just a trickle at best. We create and establish chaos in our own hearts. When we allow our circumstance, and we're always viewing our circumstances, the patterns of this world, rather than viewing the circumstances we are in the Spirit, how come we don't do that? Or maybe some people do, but I was looking at that and writing that down, I thought, always viewing the circumstances of the world. I have a different circumstance. I'm alive in the Spirit. I'm alive in the kingdom of God. What is that circumstance like? Why can't I focus there? Because if you haven't read the scripture that talk about your spirit having sight and smell and touch and taste, just like the body does, it does. We can experience the kingdom of God in the Spirit. So we've got this issue where our heart is full of chaos, blocked up with all these doubts and unbelief. Excuse me, I have a hair in my mouth. And we have a scripture that tells us, above all else, guard our heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. This may be really simple, but can we see what's happening? And I mean, there's 1,000,000,000,000 other things you can put in there. I just pulled out some. In Genesis 1:1 from the Living Translation, it says this: when God began creating the heavens and the earth was shapeless, chaotic mass with the Spirit of God brooding over it, over the dark vapor. And then God spoke over the chaos. His word came out, and everything became good and living. So God's word can come into your chaos of the heart. We start speaking and declaring it and decreeing it, just like he did, because you're created in his image. You can speak the truth and wipe away the chaos, and the word of God, living and active, will flow into your heart. I don't have an illustration of that. Sorry, it was a time-consuming thing, so I decided not to do that. So we want our words to line up with what God says so that the flow comes instead of a trickle. We want to be like-minded with God, having the mind of Christ. I've got a whole pile of scriptures here, but I'm going to start with Proverbs here. My son, pay attention to what I've said. Turn your eyes to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And again, I'm not going to read all of these for time's sake. I'm just going to put those all up there. Whoops, let me back up one. But these are scriptures talking about faith and not doubting. Trusting what God has to say. Trusting his word. But I want to take you specifically to a story here. Sorry. I'm going to find my page. Yes, right here. From Matthew 14, verses 28 to 31. It says, and this is where Peter spoke out in faith when he saw Jesus walking on the water. Peter says this, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was frightened and began sinking, crying out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Now, how often have we looked at that story and we saw, oh, see, Peter had little faith. That wasn't what Jesus was saying. In fact, Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. You could tell it to go jump into the sea. So what did Jesus say to you? You of little faith, you with your mustard seed faith, got out of the boat and walked on the water? Why did you doubt? You see, Peter had enough faith to walk on the water. And let me tell you, it was Peter's faith in Jesus, not Jesus doing something to make Peter walk on the water. Because if it was about Jesus, Peter would have never sunk, right? Was what Jesus was doing to make Peter. It was that Peter had faith in Jesus. But when he conformed to the patterns of this world, oh, it's the sea, gravity, I'm going to sink. When his thoughts went there, his doubt blocked the faith. But his little faith, he walked on the water. So Jesus wasn't calling out his little faith. He was calling out, why did you doubt? How many of us experienced wonderful miracles from God? And then sometimes we pray and we start, and then something happens, and then we start doubting. See, it's not that you don't have enough faith. God has given us all a measure of faith. But it's when we doubt and we allow doubt to be established in our hearts. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. What are we thinking on? What are we allowing to transform our minds? Psalms 119:130 says, the unfolding of your word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. You don't need to have a degree to understand scripture. Spirit will do that. Hebrews 4:11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And we're talking about the children of Israel as they wandered in the desert. They had all the miracles, but they didn't mix their faith with the experience with their faith, and they lost it. I know that we're wrapping up, so we're going to, I'm going to give you one scripture here at the end, right there. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So you are receiving that, amen? Salvation of your souls. We're working it out. We're walking it out. Okay, this is to be continued. Where we'll look at the body. Amen. God bless you. So, Father, as we wrap up this morning, again, we thank you for all that you have done, for all that you are doing. We thank you, Father, that you have given us Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us. Lord, we want our souls to line up with what's happened in our spirit. So, Lord, we're going to lean into your word and receive it. And we ask this now in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And sure.